Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hey there, all you people of the pods and all you podsters and podettes. You like the new opening? Me too. I'll get back to that in a minute. I have a few good things to pass on about the show today. First of all, this podcast now has a website. You can check it out at jimthepodcastsherpa.wixsite.com/website. So it's Jim the Podcaster, Podcast Sherpa, sorry, .wixsite.com/website, WEBSITE. And there you will see the Sherpa Sheet collection, which lists every Sherpa Sheet for each episode. You can also listen to every episode of the podcast on that same page. The webpage also has our social media links at the top in case you'd like to follow the podcast. I'm still working on the page to add the links to the sites and apps where you can listen to the show on your tablet or your phone. If you've got any suggestions for things for me to add, let me know, okay? You can contact me at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com, and it's right there on the webpage on the bottom. Okay, so don't be afraid to contact me. Also, as you just heard, the podcast now has voiceovers. I went to a site called fiverr.com, that's F-I-V-E-R-R.com, and hired the services of a voiceover artist. His name is Bruce, and he's done plenty of voiceovers in Australia, and he was such a pleasure to work with. We both have a goofy sense of humor. And if you're looking for him on Fiverr, he's under the screen name Radiomania. I highly recommend him. And big news, he's going to be my guest next week. Sometimes it's a little tricky to get together when you're on opposite sides of the world. Viva la Sherpalution! You know, it's a theme week, so I present the theme to theme week.
It's theme week, it's theme week, it's theme week.
Thanks, Bruce. This week's theme is language, and my guests host an entertaining and informative podcast about the English language that you're sure to enjoy. It's called The Owlish Folk.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Speaking of opposite sides of the world, my guests today are co-hosts of a podcast who are currently living on opposite sides of the world. Amanda Greenwood and Dave Roberts host The Owlish Folk. It's a fun podcast that takes a look at words, phrases, and grammar. I had such a great time talking with them, as you will plainly hear. And this is also my first time interviewing co-hosts, and I definitely couldn't be any luckier to speak with these two. So, without any further ado, let's get to my interview with The Owlish Folk. Hey, to say to my guests this week, have a way with words would be an understatement. Dave Roberts and Amanda Greenwood are known collectively as the co-hosts of the podcast The Owlish Folk, which is a podcast about the idiosyncrasies of the English language and the way we speak. Welcome to the Sherpa Chalet.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you, hi.
So I'm glad to have the both of you. Now, before we talk about your podcast, let's hear a little bit about yourself. And Amanda, you can go first.
Oh, well, thank you. So my name is Amanda, and I hail from upstate New York, and my favorite color is green and brown, and that's interesting because I married a Greenwood, so it just really worked out that way. Love reading, love playing Scrabble, and I also have started a lot of embroidery lately, so that's kind of my hobby.
Cool.
Wow. Okay.
Your turn.
Yeah. I'm from England. Do I have to give my age too? I'm 40 years old.
No, you're not.
But I'm interested in, reading, and I'm a cruciverbalist. Herbalist. I enjoy crosswords, and sports, a lot of sports.
Very cool. Like,
and now podcasts.
Chess boxing. Chess boxing is his favorite.
Chess boxing?
Yes.
What is chess boxing?
It's a hybrid sport wherein you play a few minutes of chess, and then you do about 2 minutes of boxing, and you just alternate that, and you stop until someone draws a checkmate in chess or knocks somebody out in the boxing game.
I would be awful at that. You know, I would be awful at that. I'm not good at chess and I couldn't hit someone.
Hit me before.
Yeah, only for fun.
So how did you two come together to create the podcast?
Well, we used to work together. Yeah. We used to work together. We worked as English teachers together. And we would talk in our free time just about the interesting, weird things we learned about our language, you know, about English. So teaching it kind of teaches you the language again, because you find out all sorts of things that you take for granted when you learn as a native speaker. So we would find these odd things out, or students would ask questions, and then we would talk to each other about the questions that they'd asked. And we thought the things we found were fun enough to share. Fun enough to share with other people.
Okay. And yeah, that definitely shows in your podcast.
No, thank you.
How did you end up in Korea?
Well, my husband and I went there in 2006. And I was working on writing my master's thesis. My husband had finished his master's. And we were certified to teach English. And I had some Korean friends in graduate school. So we knew we wanted to go to Asia. We decided on Korea. We were going to stay just for 1 year. And we just fell in love with it. And we stayed for 13 and had a child there. And we just returned back to the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Dave, you are still there with your wife
still
and your
child. So I went maybe a year before Amanda. I came over here and it was just for a break. I was working in England and my boss at the time said, you know, if you work hard, then in 10 years you could be doing my job. And it terrified me. So immediately I started looking for anything else, anywhere else. And I started looking around the world. And I knew people in China and I knew people in Japan. So I thought, let's try somewhere different. And found myself in Korea, which again was going to be for a year. And then I met somebody and then we got married and had children. And so I'm still here. And I, like Amanda, I love the place.
Do your kids get hooked on K-pop?
They're a little bit young for that, but I think, yeah, they'll be big BTS fans before long. Are you a K-pop fan?
No, well, I'm sure you might be dreading that day soon, though, right, Dave?
I have to say I'll dread it, but in my heart, to be honest, I'm looking forward to it. I can't hide it. I'll look forward to it. There's some good tunes. I think, yeah, after we record, Jim, we should do a little bit of an intro, a K-pop 101. Get you into it too.
I think I'll probably pull out of the interview at that point.
Oh, come on. No, I think, it's a wild world of K-pop. Yeah. I'm very, very into it. And it changes all the time. You think you know all the latest artists and then there's a whole new batch.
Yeah, it's very difficult to keep up with.
Okay, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, you know, my understanding, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that English is very often a second language in Korea. Is that true?
I'm going to be a little bit pedantic here. So
that's okay.
English in Korea is a foreign language rather than a second language. Okay. So English is a second language if it has a specific dedicated purpose in society. So, for example, if English is the language of business, then it's a second language. Okay. But in Korea, it doesn't have any designated purpose, so it's just a foreign language. Whereas, like Singapore, for example, it's a second language. It's the language in which business is conducted.
Yeah, and I think, if anything, Chinese was probably more important in the culture in general than English up until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, because I remember up until, I don't know, 2013, there was still Chinese characters on all the signs, but now they've been taken off and it seems that they're switching. They've switched to English. I mean, of course, in tourist places, there's still Chinese, but...
There was a big push in Seoul for English from the 1988 Olympics. and they built new subway lines and stadiums, and to help all the travelers get around, they put a lot of English signs around then. And I think that replaced anything else that would have been there. And there gradually it's more English and less Chinese, even less Korean. You see a lot of English where you would expect to see Korean signs these days, but it doesn't have that dedicated purpose. It's just something people are used to seeing now.
Okay, I see. So now, with all the different topics that you guys have covered in your show, and you go into different aspects of language and sentence structure and so on, is there anyone that comes up that you find like the most unusual about our language?
Man.
Is that a tough one?
Well, it's a tough one, yeah, because there's so many things. It feels like every episode we unwrap something that we just didn't know existed. And that's where it's an adventure for us who were supposed to in some way be kind of experts. But there's always so much more to learn.
For me, I think learning about the silent letters and where all of that came from and the history, the historical events behind how much English has changed, that is always something that is really interesting to me. Because even though I love language and I've had an interest in linguistics and the history of the language, I never really studied it because I was always studying literature. That's my focus. So this has kind of been like a new education for me. I'm reading so many books every year just based on this one subject. And it's been really exciting learning about all the nuances of the English language and the history of it.
Yeah, the history is fascinating. There's so many stories. I think they're the episodes I enjoy recording the most, where we have a question that seems on its face fairly straightforward. And then we find some historical event that dictated the course of the language and the way the words change. I think that's the thing for me that I find most exciting is the way that it changes. It's so dynamic, the whole language. So what we have now, we feel is right. But even 50 years ago, it would have seemed weird. And 50 years in the future will also seem weird. And we have to kind of accept that we pass on to the next generation this language, and they do what they want to do with it. And they think that's right. And then they'll pass it on, and they'll feel that young people in the future use and abuse the language strangely. But it's constantly evolving.
Yeah, that's funny, but you actually brought up the topic of my next question, because I was wondering, you know, do you guys feel that the beauty of the English language is slowly like disappearing because we talk with emojis and abbreviate everything like LOLs, and there's a lot more slang? You know, we've come like a long way from, you know, shall I compare thee to a summer's night to, yo, sup?
Personally, I don't think that it's gone downhill. It's just changing in a different way, and it's changing with society and with modern times. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We have to adapt. Languages will adapt. And
yeah, I think that we maybe have changed our view on that as well, where we've had to become a lot more accepting of the reality that we don't get to control it. So I think our position has softened. And shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Maybe 400 years ago, it didn't seem quite as poetic as it does now. And 400 years in the future, maybe people will think, yo, what's up, is actually poetic. You know, people revere things from the past as these icons of perfect language use or poetry or whatever.
But even really, though
that was contemporary at the time, isn't it? Whoa.
Sorry, pardon me. I was just going to add on to that and say, even though we've accepted some things, we still have our peccadilloes where we kind of won't budge. And we're a little bit stubborn about the way that we feel. For example, the way I feel one thing very strongly about is the misuse of the word fort and forte.
Go on and tell us about this.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the word, and Dave's cringing already. The word that means something that someone excels at is supposed to be pronounced fort, meaning that it is one strength. Forte is actually an Italian term that is used in music. So you see on the news all the time or on talk shows or whatever, oh, dancing is his forte. And I secretly cringe inside. But the problem is, it, if you look in the dictionary, both pronunciations are accepted. And that's because whatever is used most of the time, it is accepted. And that usage is so important in language, because it doesn't matter if you say, well, this is how we used to say it, and this is the correct definition. If everyone uses it one way, it's accepted. And you see that in the example of literally.
That's true. That's a good example too. Yeah. And another example, because this isn't a new thing. There's the word, apron, an apron that you wear when you're cooking to protect your clothes so you don't get splashed with flour and eggs and oil. But it used to be a napron with an N at the beginning, napron. But people would say this is a napron with the article ka, a napron. And as people speak faster and faster, they say a napron, and it becomes an apron. And then the sound of the vowel changes, an apron. So napron became apron. Same with orange. It used to be narange. People would say a narange, becomes an orange. So we make these mistakes all the time, and then it just becomes a new word. So forte, sorry, Amanda, is right if people use it enough.
My Fitbit heart rate just went up to like 125.
I know, it's so cringe.
Jeez. No, I've relaxed a lot. And I think that's good, because I think I was probably a little bit snobbish about it in the beginning, I must admit. Proudly snobbish. But yes.
You know, with all of this, you guys just answered my next question too, because my next question was going to be, are there any phrases that we can do without, literally?
There's lots of them, I think, which is the ones that really bother Dave, because I'm going to answer for him right now. And then you can heart rate. When anybody uses sports terms for baseball inappropriately for like everyday activities, or that really makes him angry. So if you're in a business meeting and you say, all right, team, let's drive it out of the park, Dave just starts shaking and sweating.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I do have a reason for this, and it is because I don't like baseball. So if someone says, hit it out of the park, or I don't know, I don't know many baseball terms, but I feel like baseball is the antithesis of hard work. If someone stands very still, swings a bat, and then walks around a small circle slowly.
You've just alienated a lot of our Yankees listeners.
I just don't think it's appropriate to use this when you're in a work environment, when you want people to be dynamic. But hey, you know, I have to be more open-minded. I have to be more accepting.
Amanda, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yes. There is another. And this, I guess, is my version of forte and fort. It's tautology. So when people talk about an ATM machine, when the M of ATM is already machine, or ARC card, when the C is already card. For some reason, a part of my stomach twists. It makes me so furious, and I have to try and force a smile and not correct people. I'm getting better at it.
Oh, my heavens to Betsy, Dave.
Oh, you brought the worst out of us, Jim.
But I think if I can answer too, and Dave and I have also talked about this, when you say, I have a case of the Mondays.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what did Monday ever do to you? And why are you going to be so mean towards Monday? Monday's a great day, you know, or don't talk to me until I have my coffee. It's like, I'm not going to even talk to you at all if you're going to be rude. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just... Or I guess phrases like irregardless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is wrong.
Yeah. Irregardless is an interesting one because it, yes, regardless, irregardless, we add the prefix to show that, even without this, right? But we do this in other ways too. So there's the word overwhelmed. but to whelm. We never say whelm, but we used to. And whelm means to completely submerge. And overwhelm also means to completely submerge. So I'm whelmed with work is exactly the same as I'm overwhelmed with work. But adding over just makes it seem stronger, I guess.
More intense.
Trauma. Yeah, more intense. And now we would never say I'm whelmed with work.
I'm going to start saying it, just like how I try to call the pharmacy the apothecary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If enough people hear you say it, you can change
you
the
do
word.
Occasionally see that on a sign, you know, the apothecary.
Yeah.
But not,
it's a
not
very
too
whimsical
often.
Term. I like it.
Yeah. It's great. It's
great. That was just like with barbers, right? Didn't they call them tonsorials way back when in the old West?
I have no idea. That's a great word, tonsorial.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I have no idea.
Oh, great.
There you go. You got something for your next show.
Yeah, I'm writing that down right now. Great. Yeah. A barber. But there are lots of occupations that have great names, like a haberdasher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's yeah. Is that a hat maker?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you guys. I know you guys like to talk about words on your show, obviously. So I've made just a small list of words, and I guess we'll call this challenge "Words I've Never Heard."
Oh dear.
Okay, so I'm going to just throw them at you. I'm going to see if you guys know the definitions of these, and you know, you can, because we're on video, you can throw your hand up, or you can jump right in if you want to. If you don't know them, don't worry about it, because, like I said, I looked these up too, so.
Okay, now my heart rate is like 130.
I know, I'm so worried now. Will there be a grade at the end?
Yeah, no, and there's no math either, I promise.
Okay,
are we ready? Okay, the first word is farrago. F-A-R-R-A-G-O.
Farrago. Ooh, Amanda? You go first.
I don't even know. I'm trying to think.
Okay. I have a guess.
Okay.
I think this might be a compound, right? It's an old-timey way that people might have said in the past. Maybe it's a term from a certain region. Maybe it's a very informal way of saying a long time ago.
That's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, Dave is kind of good at guessing, but well, let's hear the answer.
It's actually like a mixture of things, like a what's the best word to describe it? Like a
hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge, right? Exactly. That's what it is.
Okay.
I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the origins of the words, but I just thought they were kind of interesting words. Looked them up online.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna write that down. Jim 1, Alish Folk 0.
Yeah.
Okay, the next word is a rostrum. R-O-S-T-R-U-M.
Rostrum.
I know this.
Okay, go.
A rostrum, isn't it like a speaking platform? You step up to a rostrum.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes!
And the Alish Folk tie it up.
Okay, cool.
Okay, the next one is logorrhea. Logorrhea, L-O-G-O-R-R-H-E-A.
Okay, it has to do with words.
Absolutely.
So I feel like it should be like diary of the mouth, kind of, where you can't stop talking.
You're actually on the right track, yes.
Okay.
There we go, the Alice Folk take two. Ooh. It's actually, okay. They refer to it... As patients who are like manic depressive when they're talking incessantly and it doesn't make sense.
Oh.
And they actually call it logorrhea.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay. The next word is raillery. R-A-I-L-L-E-R-Y.
R-A-I?
Yeah.
Raillery. Raillery.
I don't know that's
one. Like some kind of decorations you might put up for a party. All this raillery, things that are unnecessary and slightly frivolous, but maybe just charming.
Well, you weren't a little bit off there. It's actually like, it's actually what you guys are doing now. It's a lot of good natured kidding between people.
Oh,
raillery. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're tied up.
Okay. Yeah,
and the word that's going to break the tie is yurt. Y-U-R-T.
So a yurt is kind of like a tent that is used in Mongolia.
Yeah, Mongolian family home tent, right?
There we go.
Yeah.
And the Owlish folk take the victory.
We slid by.
Just some good words. Raillery is an excellent word.
Yeah, that is a good one. I like the farrago, though. Mm. Farrago. That was a good one.
Farrago?
Yeah, farrago. Excellent word choices.
Oh, well, thank you very much. All right, this is a show about podcasts, so I'm curious as to what podcast you two listen to. Mandy, you may go first.
Sure. So I have two that I listen to quite often. One is called Out of the Past, Investigating Film Noir. And it's these two gentlemen who basically just go through the list of famous film noirs and just talk about them. And sometimes they juxtapose them to modern movies. And I think there was a really good episode comparing The Big Sleep and The Big Lebowski. That was really good. And the other one I listen to a lot is Rejoice with Frank Delaney. And Frank Delaney actually passed away in 2017, very famous Irish writer. And basically the podcast is just going through James Joyce's Ulysses and talking about different tropes and imagery and concepts that he's written about in his own scholarship of Joyce, because that's actually my area of interest in literature and publishing. So it's a really good podcast.
Okay. Dave, your turn.
Okay. Yeah. I've fairly recently got into a really good podcast about films and TV. It's called Script to Screen, and the two is number two. And this is run by two guys. I think they're in Lebanon, but I'm not totally sure. But they do kind of audio essays, short audio essays about their opinions on certain films and some history and things like that, but also just reviews and chat about films that are on at the cinema. But they're so well informed and they're so passionate about what they watch. They're not afraid of, you know, giving a scathing review, but they always look for something positive in anything they see. It's a really charming show. These guys have a lot of energy. So Script to Screen. The other one is called You Are Not So Smart. Not you, but everyone is not so smart. You Are Not So Smart. And this is about psychology and how our brain kind of tricks us. So every week or two, there's a new episode in. It's usually looks at some kind of psychology research, but things like how our brain constructs reality. So when we remember something, we actually reconstruct our previous memory of that, you know, the previous time we recalled it. And every time we remember something, we corrupt the memory in some way. So we feel like we have this great grasp on reality and on the past, but actually it's quite warped. So yeah, that's really interesting. You Are Not So Smart.
Oh, great. You know, we have a portion of the show also that we like to call shameless self-promotion. This is where I turn the mic over to you guys and you can promote whatever you want to do. And then we'll take us out of the interview. So Dave, you can go first if you like. Or you can flip a coin if you want.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about then the podcast. We put out a new episode every 2 weeks usually. And we talk about language history, and we try and put in some facts that you'll appreciate learning in every episode. There's history, there's etymologies, there's just language quirks, and we try and answer an interesting question each episode. That's the Owlish Folk, and we have a website which is wix.com/theowlishfolk. Amanda, what about our social media? That is your domain.
Yes, I do the social media. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's at The Owlish Folk. And we have an email address, theowlishfolk@gmail.com.
Great, nice and simple. Hey, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
Is there a word for a person who loves words and language?
Yes, I suppose you would have a logophile.
A logophile, okay.
Or a linguophile.
Okay, well, I would suggest that anybody who listens to Dave and Amanda's podcast, The Owlish Folk, you will become a linguophile because their show is a lot of fun and it's very informative. And if, you know, it'll definitely make you really wonder about the words that come out of your mouth and why they come out that way too, you know. And thank you very much for keeping the spirit of, you know, romanticizing the English language. You know,
thank you very much.
I don't think you guys are going to be doing a podcast called Yo Sup, but just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll keep a lot of listeners happy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
thanks very much. You too, Jim. Yeah, I like your show too. It's really engaging and fun. I like thank how you give everybody a voice.
Yeah, and thanks for being on my show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Right. So again, that's the Owlish Folk, guys. Make sure you check them out.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
If you like the Owlish Folk, like I do, check out these podcasts too. Lexicon Valley, Grammar Girl, Away With Words, which I used to listen to for a while. It's really interesting, very similar to Dave and Amanda's show. The Allusionist, that would be A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N-I-S-T. It's like a spelling bee today in here. And also Animalology, which looks at the use of animals in everyday words and phrases. So those are your Sherpa suggestions for this episode. Check them out, and you won't be at a loss for words. Thanks again to Dave and Amanda of the Owlish Folk for stopping by. You are really going to enjoy their podcast. You will definitely be entertained and you will definitely be informed at the same time. So you really can't go wrong with that. Next week, you will be hearing from my voiceover guy, Bruce Goldberg. You've heard him throughout the show. Now we're going to hear his story. And I got to tell you, when we were setting up the interview, he said, Jim, he said, I have more of a story than just voiceovers. And boy, does he ever. And it's a really interesting one, too. I was fascinated by it. Don't forget, the Too Many Podcast contest is in full effect. All you need to do is listen to the show like you're doing right now. Then go on to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher.com and leave a review on the show. And make it a nice one, please. And then after that, follow me on one of my social media platforms, either Facebook or Twitter, or Instagram, and all you have to do is leave one simple message, Viva la Sherpalution. This way I'll know that you've heard the show, and you know what to do, and you've entered the contest. And what'll happen is, I'll look through the people who've left a review, and they will be considered finalists for the contest. What happens in the contest? From the names of the people who've left reviews on either Apple Podcasts or Stitcher.com, you'll get an invitation to be on this show. And we'll have a little interview. We'll set everything up. If you're interested in being on the show, after you do the entry and the social media entry, email me at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com. So just in case you do get picked, we can set up what you want to talk about. And, you know, it could be anything. If you want to tell a couple of jokes, that's great. If you want to sing a song, that's great. If you just want to talk, hey, we can do that. The people who are going on the show get a minimum of 10 minutes appearing time. And once you do that, you know, let your friends know that you're going to be on a podcast and have them spread the word. Say, hey, my friend's going to be on there. So let's listen. And hopefully we'll get more and more people listening to the show and we will build our audience. That's the whole plan here. Nice and simple, right? And just keep in mind, you know, we don't want to discuss any topics that might be offensive because, you know, that's not what the show is all about. And, you know, it's not exactly smiled upon by our distributor Anchor or a lot of the podcast distributors also. So if there's something that's inappropriate or controversial, I would either edit it out of the interview or just choose not to play the interview on the show at all. So we're going to keep it light and we're going to have fun when you come on the show, okay? But like I said, it's all you got to do. Review, comment, Viva la Sherpalution. And email me that you'd like to be on the show if you're chosen and what you'd like to do. This way, we'll set it up and we'll figure it all out for you, okay? In the meantime, don't forget to follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. So until next time, thank you so much for stopping by and press and play. And as we Sherpas like to say, you know, I don't think there was a toll bridge on that mountain the last time we were here. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Chapelition. Viva la Chapelition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?